11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
GearWebsites.com is your source for firearms-based playing cards and books. We also have mugs, shirts, and posters with designs that we've made live. Of course, we have patches. Every Friday is Free Patch Friday. We appreciate your support. Thank you for shopping at GearWebsites.com.
And welcome, everybody. Okay, if my microphone is working, and we get started late. Sorry, I was commenting on a video, got myself distracted here. I had 20 minutes, and then you know what happens? You start to do something else, and then you figure out, oh, I'm late for what I was supposed to be waiting 20 minutes for. Don't knock over things. All right, so the little puppy co-host is awake and wiggling, so that's not a good sign. I probably should have taken him OUT before the show. I didn't think about that, but maybe he'll go back to sleep. Today, we're going to be talking about power of content creation, hopefully. So I figured we've been chatting about some of the nuts and bolts, I guess, so to speak, you know, some of the technical aspects of content creation over the last couple of weeks here. It's a, you know, when I'm coaching and I don't get feedback specifically, questions or focus from people specifically, a question they have or something going on out there that we're reacting to or whatever, you know, like SHOT Show or something like that, then, you know, what to include, what to talk about, what to reiterate so that we're not overlooking things. There's a lot to look at. So, you know, balancing the big picture and the specifics and not overlooking important or critical specifics is an issue. So, I'll say thanks to everybody who's joining us live as people roll in. You can see the numbers jumping up on the screen here. And the people that are joining us on the podcast, I've been mentioning in the last couple of shows that we moved everything over to Podbean. So you can still watch the show, I guess, listen to the show anywhere you want. iHeartRadio, iTunes, Google, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you want. There's a couple other ones, I suppose. But we moved everything to Podbean on our end just for a couple of reasons. One, we can afford it thanks to our Patreons, the people that make it possible. I always say that our servers and our software, the software, one of the things is this Podbean stuff. It's a service, I guess, more than a software, but kind of the same thing. But anyway, we were able to invest the money into it. And what that does is bring all of our podcasts to one place and we can see the statistics. So it's really cool to start, you know, we knew the people were listening, but now we can kind of count or see the people listening. So it's really cool. So thanks to people who are listening, no matter where it is. And tell you what, I'm going to put a link to Podbean in here if you haven't used it before. Thanks to the people that do jump over to Podbean. And give us a like or a follow there. But wherever it is that you're pulling the podcast from, I know that you don't go to those places as often as you do like the people on YouTube who go to it every day. So when you do go there, if you remember, not just for our channel, but all the stuff that you appreciate, give it a like, give it a thumbs up, give it a heart or whatever it might be, a star, and maybe a comment. And that really does help any of us that are creating content that you enjoy on those platforms. And, you know, appreciate that. So, again, we've been doing this now for a while and I've seen some feedback, but nothing, no specific questions. You know, there's people have conversations about things we talk about or, oh, sorry, I have this in the wrong, that should sound better, I hope. Have us, you know, they'll have follow-ups to stuff we've chatted about, but I haven't gotten really any that I can think of. If I am missing something, let me know. But I haven't got any suggestions or questions or requests, I guess, to do anything specifically. So as I'm over here trying to think of what we should talk about this week in the coaching show, the episode, I started to think about what we've already talked about and what's important that we might miss. And I think I'm going to go zoom out a little bit again and do that 30,000 foot view or that bird's eye view. And let's talk about why the person who might be listening to this, who isn't a content creator, might want to be one, or you might want to rethink or adjust, I guess, your existing content. So I threw at least one question out there, and I was thinking about asking more, but let's see what happens here. Like I say, I kind of screwed myself up by going over and answering or asking a question about lights, lights mounted on a handgun. So I've took myself out of the topic here for a little while, for about 30 minutes. Now I'm going to try to get back into it here, what I was thinking. But the first question I asked is, are you satisfied with where we are today? In the fight for 2A is what I'm thinking. So, you know, if we were done, it would be one thing. If we were just reminding people, hey, remember we had this fight. We finished it last year. We finished it a decade ago. Don't forget. Hopefully at one point that'll be our message, right? At one point that'll be what we're doing. I don't think that's where we are. Some people are, of course, the fear mongers, the people that can't get enough. You know, it's about to end. So those people are going to say that it's over, you know, that it's already ended and we're all just grasping at the last remaining pieces. So somewhere in that spectrum, you've got to figure is where we are today, right? I don't think too many people are going to be super satisfied with where we are today. I would challenge yourself, if you're super pessimistic, I think you can be satisfied with where we are today. We're certainly in a good place today. We have essentially a lot of freedoms, and it's 2024, and there's been quite a few efforts, tons of people, lots of money, lots of time invested to remove all of our freedoms, and we still have quite a few of them. So there's going to be people that tell you that we're about done, it's over, you know, we've lost so much, it's nothing like we used to have. Yeah, well, you know what I mean? We have what we have today, and let's look at what we've got going as far as guns, 2A-related stuff. 50 states with concealed carry. That's amazing. 29, 26, where are we at now? I can't even remember. 29 states with constitutional carry? Come on. I can remember when Arizona became the third state with constitutional carry. And I tell you what, people would not have imagined we'd get to this point. We have court decisions that, first off, we've been 176 years, if I'm doing my math right, it's either 173, 176, something like that, years without any court decisions. And the last couple of court decisions, let's run them down. Heller, McDonald, Ezel again, and then the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, who won, versus the loser, Bruin. So let's not shorten it to the loser for some reason. And we have other things like Cargill on its way up to challenge the abuses that are coming through since the Republican-backed gun control that we had just a couple of years ago. So yeah, it's not like we're winning, but we're certainly not have lost. So are you satisfied? Hopefully you're not satisfied. You know, you've got something, and that's where I guess where I was getting at is, you know, you either have thought, you know, you're not listening to this if you think it's over. People who think it's over don't listen to my show. They listen to people who feed that flame in them. So if you understand that we're somewhere in the middle there, you know, what is it that we're missing? And that's where I wanted to get to today, the power of creation. What is your why? That's why I titled it this. So where are you standing there? Now, there's a lot of things that you can do. You can do nothing, but you can also drop everything and do everything within your power. And of course, somewhere in that spectrum between there is what's realistic. So what is your why? You know, what are we missing out there? And we'll never be coordinated like Borg, but what can you do to have input to that, to you know, what's happening, to your influence? Where can you put awareness? Where can you put your finger to, or where can you pull to influence what's going on? So let's talk about a little bit of that. Maybe it's not the best way to describe what we're talking about today, but like I say, I had to start somewhere. So let's dig into it a little bit.
And again, thanks to the people that are joining us live. Feel free to chime in, say hello. We'll go for about an hour today. We got about 60 minutes left before the Grace Curley show starts, or at least this portion of the Grace Curley show that Cape Gunworks streams. So we'll end before that shows up here. But I think I've got about an hour's worth of chatting here. And if you're listening as a podcast, again, thanks for doing that. And leave us one of those stars or hearts or thumbs up or whatever when you're in there adjusting your podcast settings next time. All right. So the power of content creation, you know, we have this perceptions of if it's something that's produced or created as a presentation or as entertainment. But there's a lot of content out there. And while some of it is just to entertain or to be out there, a lot of it is just the back and forth. I don't say just, but you know, a lot of it is back and forth conversation. And that's where we have influence, all of us do, not just in the comments to content that's out there, but in the posting of pictures and decisions and stuff that we make out there. So we have some influence in understanding that, again, is often overlooked. We often ask for likes and shares and follows and all that stuff so that our videos and our channels and our social stuff engages, right? It uses the mechanisms of the platforms to engage. But that same concept, leaving a comment, yeah, it engages the mechanism, but it also engages the human who's looking at the, who's created the content, who's posted it. Or if it's a big system and it's more than just one person, it engages their system, you know, their process. So it either gets incorporated into other opinions, or it gets added to a pile of suggestions, I guess, that would, you know, influence the channel. But like I say, more often it's just us having conversations with each other. So there's a lot of influence there. Then the Second Amendment in a modern context, I don't know. Using the robots to help build some of this and trying to take the pieces that push towards what we're trying to talk about today. The Second Amendment is, it has remained the same, but our, you know, it being a foundational thing there, the society changes around it. And, you know, do we have one or two voices describing that change, or do we want to have a lot of voices? Well, we can have both. And again, our individual voices greatly influence the direction and the frequency and the scope of the larger voices or the larger projects out there. So with that context, you know, that's the modern context, I think, here. The media representation and bias was at one time a stranglehold because there was very few. The media was produced and it was distributed. It was programmed. I mean, it already has. It isn't going away. That has gone away. Now, if you want to seek out old-fashioned media, legacy media, you have to seek it out. Like, the other stuff is all around us all the time. And there's so many, just, you know, so many ways to take part in messaging, I guess I'm going to call it. You know, content is the stuff, but how do you get it out there would be the messaging or whatever. There's just so many levels of that now that there's no gatekeeping. There's no stranglehold on that. All right. So then we get into the diversity of perspectives. And at this point, there's a lot of them, but we've got massive, massive holes. I'm going to take a second since nobody's saying anything to give me a chance to break here. I'm going to create a break and clear my throat, drink some of this coffee. Wish it was a little bit hotter, but I'll make do. And well, we'll say thanks to Foss. This will give me a minute to really cough here for a second. Foss made us these awesome commercials for the Gear Website Store.
Sir, why are you in Barry's fishing net?
He ran right into it.
Get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty apes.
First off, that is incredibly rude. You ran straight into Barry's fishing net.
It's ruined.
How is Barry gonna fish now?
I'm just trying to find some patches and some stickers.
Well, all you have to do is go to gearwebsites.com and you can find 2A-related stickers and patches. And even if you need web consulting, technology consulting, 3D printing, anything like that, gearwebsites.com. Now, please get out of the net. I'm sorry, jerk.
All right. Thanks again to Foss. And yeah, thanks to people who want to. All right. Thanks to Krabby for letting us know. As I thanked Foss for the commercial. Dang. So appreciate that. And yeah, the puppy co-host is obviously to blame and appropriately will be reprimanded after the show with a spanking. All right, so sorry about that. That proves that we are actually legitimate and we're not some fancy New York podcast that never has any problems. All right, so, wow, where did we put that commercial? I wonder if I could go back and watch my own show to figure that out. All right, so let's go over here and... we're going to take a quick look at the poll, I guess, to get back on bearings here. That's super frustrating because I've basically just been riffing. If I had a script, I could just go find page two of the script and start off again. So here's the problem. I put this show together, as I kind of mentioned in the beginning, because we've been talking about specifics. So at least I've been kind of focusing on specific aspects of content creation the last few weeks. And without any input from anyone else, I figured, why not take a bigger, you know, bird's eye view again? Let's zoom out a little bit and take another focus. So we're talking about your why. Why are you creating content? Why are you participating in the creation of content, whatever that form is? And, you know, what's your why? So I've got, I don't know, I got about 3/4 of the way through setting this thing up today, and then... excuse me, I was watching something on a technical thing on Blender because a Clover Tech was, we were talking about Blender the other day. So I've been trying to kind of get up to date. Blender is a really interesting three-dimensional software. And a tutorial I was watching over there kind of made me think of a whole new thing to talk about on this show. But instead of diverging too much, I kind of... continued on with this one, with this in the back of my head, that I want to start a whole nother conversation about something kind of different from what we're talking about today. So with that in mind, I put the rest of today's show together, and we started out here, and She Fires is out there. Welcome. Well, the good news is She Fire, I screwed up my microphone. Well, the puppy screwed up the microphone earlier, and I probably just screwed it up again by touching it. And we were dead air for like 30 minutes. So I'm just essentially starting over here right now. Let's see. So we do have a poll going. And my question was, what voice do we need most for the Second Amendment in 2024? Veterans issues, new gun owners, aging gun owners, or suicide and mental health awareness? Not that those are the only four by any means, but those were the four that I sort of had in mind, four of the ones I had in mind for today's show prior to my distraction, like I was just trying to describe there. So that being said, we're going to try to get back into it, and I'll try to summarize. It would kind of ramble on when I don't have a script. I just use bullet points most of the time. So I'll try to sum up what I was talking about before. So we're going to be talking about your why. You know, are you participating? Are you thinking about participating? Are you questioning your level of participation? Whatever, right? We're all part of this in some way or another. We're either watching and participating in it, creating views and clicks. You know, you have a decision there. You could be watching the new Star Trek or something. What is wrong with this thing? This thing has stayed on this shelf for freaking months, and now it won't stay put at all. Did gravity shift? I'm experiencing a gravity shift. All right. So what's your participation level, right? What is your why? And why are you doing this? Like, what is the point of all this anyway, right? Are we just wasting our time? Is this all entertainment? Or are we pushing the needle? Is there an Overton window? And are you, you know, do you have influence over that? Or what the heck, right? So... the power of this content creation. Where did we get to where we are today, right? Like, did we get here because somebody flipped a switch and we all just started singing another tune? Or did the stranglehold on content creation shift and allow more and more people to participate. And with more participation, the largest voices started to understand the nuances and either follow trends or whatever, you know, go in different paths than the typical. And I believe that's where we're at today. And that happens through influence, through audiences and participation in, well, nowadays, it's just sum it up to nowadays in the social platforms and all the other ways that you can participate in content creation. Or, you know, the barriers to create content have changed and been reduced so much that it's possible to do amazing things today. Amazing, amazing things today. As simply as going to YouTube or something similar, because there's some better things than YouTube for this. There's some educational resources that exist, essentially online schools or online forums or online participatory things that are focused on helping people learn. So you can go find knowledge on the internet really quick. So if you have just a vague idea of something you want to do, it's easier than it's ever been, cheaper than it's ever been, faster than it's ever been to make a reality out of that. And if you ever want to do consulting on that, let me know. Like, you could have the craziest cool idea and you might find out that it's like 3 minutes or 3 hours or 3 weeks away from existing. You know, $3, $300, or $3,000 away from existing. But rarely does anything take what it would have taken a million years ago. Well, I shouldn't say a million years ago. What it would have taken 3 decades ago, 1 generation ago, if someone had the idea to create a new magazine for, I don't know, motorcycles, or a new magazine for farmers who use, you know, this type of tractor, people would have laughed them off the planet. Like, the resources it would have taken to make a magazine for such a narrow amount of readership or interest, you know, it wouldn't have been practical. Nowadays, we all know that that's the other way around. You can do whatever you want. So anyway, thanks everybody for joining up. And what we're going to be talking about is diversity of perspectives, authenticity, the community, the landscape and mastering it, and then strategies and risks. I don't know what's going on, but my throat keeps clogging up today. I'll be taking a few breaks to cough. All right, so let's get into, again, I'm trying to summarize what I said before. It was epic. Whatever I said before was really, really good, but somebody messed up with the microphones. All right, so amplifying voices. Again, I kind of just touched on it right there, but we all know there's so many ways to use the resources that are available today to get the word out. And a lot of times you can tap somebody on the shoulder who's got a giant voice or a big audience. People like me who are saying, hey, give us something to talk about on these Tuesday shows. You know, what are you stumbling over? What is your roadblock? What is, you know, are you looking for some options? You know, what is it that's stopping you from accomplishing whatever your goals might be in this realm? Or if you're listening to somebody who's doing the reloading, you know, like, why can't you get what you're looking for out of, you know, that caliber or that powder or that projectile or something? You know, there's resources out there. So these allow you to amplify your voice that way. And let's see, power of diverse voices in 2A. I don't know if I got into this one while it was still going, but I don't ever say what we need is, except for a couple of things down below here. But what I do try to offer is that, you know, we're at the blossoming, we're at the I don't know what to call it, like a change. We had a few voices, we had one or two voices, then we had a few voices, and then we had many voices, and then it went to, you know, what group of voices, because now we have everyone has a voice, literally, because you have the ability to interact with the internet. It's no longer like there's a couple of people who have the ability to put out content or data, or we have a few people who are participating in the creation of content. Now it's a two-way street. So the audiences do exist, and that is one criteria, one factor, but everyone has the ability to interact with the content that exists, but also to influence through ideas and through conversation and through either creating your own content or, again, being part of a panel or being a regular contributor is in the comments. But we all have the ability to influence others in this realm or whatever. Let's see. So the impact of that, again, I kind of touched on it already, and I feel like I'm saying everything twice. So probably going to take longer to say all this than it took me the first time. So I'm trying to do it faster. But, you know, how did we get to where we are? Nobody flipped a switch and we just got here. So this is all done through nibbles. It's all done through conversations. You guess what? Half the time you're talking to somebody on the internet, they are doing two other things. They're cooking dinner, they're running over, and they're typing on the thing. And as they're running back over, you know, the dog knocked something over, or the kid's asking them a question about homework. They miss whatever, and now, you know, they're hearing something every other word, right? Maybe they're three sheets to the wind because it's their evening, right? And they're about to sign off for the night, and you're their entertainment for their, you know, you're their way of getting information filtered through what's important and what's not, but they're also having a good time because they're about to check out for the night. So, you know, your message isn't always getting across just because you said it. And both the people who are creating content and the people in the comments out there. So, right, we have this impact, but, you know, our impact is what it is. Then we've got strive to bring new perspectives to the forefront. What are we missing? Like, right? Like, I'm about to talk about some things I think are missing, but I'm not the only one out there who's paying attention. Like, what the hell? Again, we're in a place where the number of content creators is more than ever, and the focus on issues is broader than ever. But it's not inclusive of everything. We're not catching it all, and we've got some massive gaps. Coffee break. Man, I wish that was a lot hotter. Strive to bring, okay, so resisting division and fostering collaboration. I probably could go on about that, but we're already getting 45 minutes in with a big gap there, so I'll keep going. But obviously, there's lots of things to bring up here. This is all individual gumption, or like what your interest is. There's a lot of people out there that are happy to leave these riffs and to, you know, profit or exploit those riffs. Address concerns. So let's talk about three of the ones that I think are important, and I probably should have. I don't know if I was live before, but I came up with a fourth one before as I was chatting the first time through here, and I probably should have written it down. If I said it live before, then please someone remind me what it was. But there are others here. By no means are these the only three issues out there, but when we talk about the diversity of perspectives out there, I think we're missing some stuff. First would be the aging population for lots and lots of reasons, and I'm going to go through them again if I can, just because if I missed them before. The aging population, it's a massive rift that people can exploit, and it's easy and comfortable to just leave the rift there. But we miss a lot of just interest, you know, the conversation, the knowledge that gets lost generationally when people don't communicate across the generations. The internet gives us the ability to really blend half the time I'm amazed how old or how young somebody is in the comments, because it's just never, unless it comes up, it's never comes up, right? We're just all having conversations out there. So we have a lot of potential knowledge, I guess, and stories to get from folks who've been around for a long time. Also the perspective of having been a gun owner for a long time, since many new gun owners, if you want to say there are new gun owners, are adult people who decide to buy a gun, as opposed to a person who's grown up with a gun, that perspective will eventually be gone. And that, I guess, understanding or that comfortability or awareness or just whatever it is, you know, it's not that it's better or worse. It's just that it's not with every generation. So anyway, besides that, the aging population, the most important one is the NFA. The NFA prohibits any other weapons. It prohibits short barrel rifles. It prohibits short shotguns. And it prohibits destructive devices from evolving to be useful for people who are aging through dexterity or strength or sight or other issues. Then you get into, you know, so all that is an issue that the aging population, we need a massive voice over there. We need an AARP, you know, we need a 2AARP, right? Or something, not using AARP's for, you know, stuff, but the idea of having a Second Amendment popular organization for the aging is extremely necessary. One, for fighting the NFA. Now, the aging population probably has some resources. Some of them are strapped, but a lot of them are strapped for cash, but a lot of them are, you know, have prepared for retirement. So they've got time and resources, and they've got an interest in protecting themselves and their descendants from being at risk simply because of their age. Then you've got their ability to be active, as activists, I should say. Again, time and resources and interest, giving them something to do. They could sit around knitting all day. They could sit around putting puzzles together, or the puzzle that they put together could be, you know, gaming theory for how to resist people like Bloomberg in the future. But putting that population to work for us would be an amazing resource and accomplishment. Now we get into, again, it's touchy, but I'm going to say it anyway, the aging population and suicide awareness options, and mental health awareness. It's touchy. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's easier to talk about it for people that ain't you or your parents or your kids even. But, you know, we all get older and our choices, you know, have consequences. And the other side is definitely going to use the results of those consequences against us. I don't think it in more detail than that. Let's see, what other aging issues do we've got? The aging population probably wants to collect more and probably wants to shoot more and probably wants to reload more. So again, we're missing a big chunk here if we're not creating new calibers for them and creating new products for them, new channels, and maybe even new sports. AR Patriots out there, welcome. All right, so I think that's again, if we're talking about why, what is your why? You know, are you an aging, right? Are you one of the geriatric 2Aers? Are you a daughter or son of one? Are you a brother or sister of one, right? Like, we're all, you know, we all know kids, we all know old people, we all know veterans, we all know everybody, but who's advocating for them, right? So I don't know if we need to start an organization, but, or even start a show about it, but how many shows do you know are out there for old 2A people? How many options are out there? As soon as I say this, somebody's going to go out there and exploit it. And we are going to see somebody who's willing to charge those old people $30 a pop. But ignoring all that, that's going to happen, right? Who's out there doing good work for them? You know, where's the three or four national level organizations, each petitioning for, you know, this portion of our population and quote unquote, like, or in parentheses, all of us at some point, right? Assuming we get to live that long. Going into the next one, and we do have a poll going over there right now. Aging and gun owners, or aging gun owners, has 0% on the poll. I wonder if my message here had any effect on that. If I'm still getting audio out there, give me some feedback. My audio has been crappy. As you see, my co-host basically just sleeps through the entire show. It's almost as if he cares less about the show. Veterans issues, also 0%. We'll talk about that in a second. New gun owners are at 67%. And then we have suicide and mental health awareness at 33%. I didn't put that as one of the issues because it is covered. We do have national level organizations, a couple of them, who are focused on at least the issue of the, you know, suicide awareness or suicide prevention. And we have others who are working towards that. We certainly have veterans organizations with that goal to reduce suicide. So I don't want to put, I didn't put that in the my point three here, but it's certainly an important one. But the three I'm talking about are pretty much for just sitting on the table. We got money sitting on the table here. So the next one would be educating and empowering new gun owners to understand rights. New gun owners get exploited to no end. You're going to have to first figure out what kind of gun you're going to get. You're going to get, of course, the horrible caliber propaganda. Without getting into all that, you know, you're going to have to wade through the brand loyalists, the anti-branders, who are worse, because understanding that one brand might be used by law enforcement, one brand might be recommended by trainers, one brand might have a stellar reputation amongst people in the industry. You know, if you go to gun shops and just ask people who are selling the things, you know, you're going to get opinions that way. And then you're going to get the people who, or for whatever reason, can't handle that. And you're going to get that. So that, imagine being a brand new gun owner and you have to wade through that horrible situation of what brand do I buy, right? Then you got the models and trying to figure all that out. You know, at whatever level you try to figure all that out, it's not easy with any of them. And then, of course, figuring out what size, what options, you know, when you get to double stack, whatever, you know, you pick your company and they're going to give you their version of what options there are. So that means that, again, there's no consistency. I can't even imagine being a new gun owner and actually trying to try to figure out a handgun today. It's just a massive mess. So they're completely preyed on, I guess. They're the victims here. Sometimes you get people, She Fires, I think, was out here. Yeah, you know, people who are legitimately trying to make it clear, you know, make it understandable. But, you know, every buyer's guide and everything is really, you know, hey, look at my, wherever I get my 4% or my, you know, my something paid for. So the minefield there is nuts. And then there's whole organizations to prey on them. Like literally, I won't even get into it. But that's whatever. You're going to get that with motorcycles. You're going to get that with guitars, I'm sure, right? But what is your why? You know, what are you here for? Maybe you can pull the curtain and say, hey, if you're listening, I got a way you can, you know, here's something I've provided that can help you map through what you're about to go through. Now, I'm not suggesting everyone needs a shortcut or there is some shortcut. I'm just saying, you know, what we're talking about today is, are you creating content? And who are you creating content for? Now, I don't think there are that many new gun owners. I think there's some new gun owners, but I think we're victim of universal background checks. And when they require universal background checks, that means that two individuals who want to exchange firearms with each other have to go to a gun shop and create a 4473. And I haven't seen evidence that the NSSF is discriminating between that practice and a brand new gun owner. So we all know that a new gun owner is going to buy a gun. Okay, that's pretty much an obvious statement. Then they are either going to become a multi-gun owner or they're done. I guess it's a third possibility. They might sell their gun. They changed their mind and they got rid of their gun. Either way, right? There's one of very few options. So how many people do you know that sell their gun right away? I don't know of any either. So there's probably some people that keep their one gun. And I'm trying to think. I don't know everybody. So let's say 30% buy one gun. Is it 50? Who cares? Whatever it is. It's some percent buy one gun, right? So then what do those other people do? They buy another one and another one and another one and another one. So we get a bunch of 4473s, because if they're new, they're either buying them in a state where you have to buy them that way, or they're just not aware that you can buy them other ways, or they're not being counted if they're buying them other ways. But I'm not convinced that that's not just the normal 17 gun owners buying 170 guns, because we all want 10 guns. And if a new gun owner is an adult, guess what? They got money. When I was a new gun owner, I had a wish list that was longer than all y'all's wish lists as grown adults, because I was a kid and I didn't have any money. And I got to buy one gun, and then I got to save up for a second gun, you know, years later buy a third gun type of thing. Nowadays, an adult gets into guns. You think they just go to the store and buy one gun? Come on. Come on. They're not going to the store and buying like four, three, whatever they can afford, 10. Come on. So new gun owners? Yeah, I know there's new gun owners. I just don't think there's as many new gun owners as everybody wants to wish there was. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just trying to be an alternative to the every 4473 is a new gun owner theory. But still, again, what's your why? those people that are the new gun owners, and, you know, leaving them or guiding them, or I don't know, whatever. Maybe you're one of them. Documenting your way through owning guns is epically useful. Did you ever see that someone do that in 1970? I didn't. Did you ever see somebody do it in 1980? Nope. It was just a given. Like, you grew up with guns, or else maybe you got into them. But if you got into them back in the 80s, you probably didn't say nothing. You just acted like you've been into them because nobody really talked about it. Nobody had this meta awareness of being a gun owner, right? We went and talked about stuff at gun shows and shit, but nobody sat around talking about, like, remember when I was a kid and we owned guns? Like, it just didn't happen like that. There wasn't a need to. We weren't under attack. We didn't feel like a type of person. Oh, you're a gun owner. We were just like, oh, you're a screwdriver owner. Oh, you own a vacuum. You know, it wasn't, nobody thinks of themselves as a gun owner until all of a sudden you're accused of being a gun owner. And then you have to worry about being a gun owner. Anyway, I'll give, move on without ranting here. Thanks, everybody. Hopefully my audio's still working. I probably should just check my audio. So. Anyway, I'll give. All right. So advocating for inclusion of veterans' issues, voices in 2A discussions. And by no means do I mean only veteran suicide here. We have more insight than ever to the long-term consequences of concussions and traumatic brain injuries of different types, of dealing with traumatic stress. You don't need to call it traumatic stress disorder anymore, because a lot of people have traumatic stress and it is not a disorder, or it does not have to be a disorder. It's only the very chronic cases where it gets debilitating, and that's not the case. So we can you know, normalize the conversations about this stuff. But there's other veterans issues out there, like the transitioning from service, like, you know, the working for the government and getting out and using those skills and in, you know, interesting ways. There's the veterans that are helping each other to transition out, and then you've got the, you throw the health issues in there that are beyond that, like the physical health issues. And we start to get back into some of those issues with that we get all get into with aging. When you get into skeletal issues or muscular issues or any other types of issues that would that could be alleviated with tiny firearms, or firearms that are in a different shape, firearms that allow you to use something like an electric button instead of a trigger. We don't live in the olden days. We could start using things besides tasers that use switches. So when we get into veterans' issues, we're leaving a hell of a lot on the table, not to mention empowering the people who, again, are either transitioning or dealing with issues from anything from societal to family to health to mental or whatever. So what's our why? What's your why? You know, what are we leaving on the table? And I'm only mentioning three here, hopefully giving you some spectrum here with these three, instead of dismissing them as old people or veterans or new gun owners, right? Like, think about what other stuff I'm leaving on the table here, and how we can involve each other and get more, not just diverse, but stronger. You know, it's a basket weave. It's a fabric. Barbecue's asking, do we need an, hold on, let me read the drink. Barbecue's asking, do we need an organization to advocate for more advocates? No, sorry, advocate for advocates and activists. Would that do more harm than good? Would it just be better for activists and advocates to drop their differences and advocate each other? That'll never happen, because, you know, we're all humans and there's too much of us. So one, we can only do so much, and two, we screw each other over too often, or we do things that we don't appreciate, right? Like, what if somebody doesn't like veterans? Or, like, there's a lot of people that hate police and they want to, you know, they would never do anything for the police or anything with the police. So, you know, do you want to have to tell everybody what they got to worry about and what they got to appreciate? So it's just, that gets into too much. But, you know, just like in a tapestry, every strand doesn't have to touch each other. The ones that do touch interweave and become stronger, and those might lead to others. So I think associations and scale, right, gives us the ability to all be on the same side without, you know, we can all be in different places on the rope pulling in the same direction. But as far as an advocate, an organization to advocate for advocates, I mean, you know, unless you're just setting me up here for a volleyball thing or whatever, I think that that's, I don't know if it's critical, but it certainly would be useful. We've seen some state level or some national level organizations suggest that they're going to do it and not. And then we've seen some state level organizations succeed at some level, but only have, you know, so much reach. And because we have a constant flow or a constant change in the scenery, like different people are around, different people care as time goes on, there's nothing consistent. So we have a lack of consistency with something like that. So I don't know if we need an organization. We could have a tradition to advocate for each other, you know, on Every Second Matters was an attempt to create a, or is an attempt, I guess, to create a tradition, you know, a repetitive opportunity without a, that's persistent without being a requirement, right? And for whatever reason, you don't see any national level organization even ever mention it. It's only been around since 2013. Certainly thousands and thousands of people have been aware of it. So, you know, is that something that's in demand? I don't know. But just because it hasn't been done successfully yet doesn't mean that it can't be done. I think that, again, it's either should or it can exist, and I would say it should exist. But even if you had a really good system up and resources available, we all know that there's going to be a chunk of people who sit over on the side and go, oh, well, they're not making it perfect, or it's not for me, or whatever. So maybe a couple of them, again, I think maybe it falls back to being a tradition for to support advocacy. We kind of know that we have that with the NRA and the other organizations that exist. People understand that you need to subscribe to those or have membership in order for them to financially survive. It's just, the reach or the next step would be to understand that the individual or the smaller organizations are the same way. But funding is pretty, or I guess not just funding, but support is something that I'm trying to think about how to, I don't know if you'd have to do something that, I don't know. So people feel free to answer that one as well. So I don't know if that answered the question or not, but I'm going to keep going with the next portion here, which I'm an hour in, but oh well. How long do I got before Keep Gun Works goes live then? How do I got? I don't even see my own stuff. There we go. Oh man, 5 minutes. All right. Well, I was going to try to do it before Toby goes live over there, but I don't think I'll be able to do that. So, one, I'm blaming the puppy for taking a bunch of time from when the mic went dead, and then I've been blabbing too long here. Let's see. So then we've got the authenticity and storytelling, leveraging social media and digital platforms, genuine narratives and personal experiences, and the power of storytelling to connect communities. I guess that's kind of redundant. I already mentioned that one of the powers that we have, or one of the resources that we have, is our diversity, right? Our individualistness, or individualism, and with the ability to get online and offer a message out there, we have the ability to, you know, offer genuine narratives and our personal experiences. To some extent, we're probably better off having a bunch of people doing that, and then some clearinghouses or some, what's the word, like a group of people who pay attention to that and take the essence of it, take the extract of it, or the concentrate of it and push those ideas up. And then the next level would be paying attention to that and would push that up. That doesn't happen. Like, we don't have that mapped out. It's not like it happens with some kind of formal or formality, but I think that happens with audiences. Clover used to always talk about the audiences being the mortar between the bricks. You know, all the bricks are, all the rocks in the wall are doing their thing, you know, being a rock, being a brick or whatever. And then what makes them a wall, what holds them together is the mortar. You know, first they got to all be aligned. They all got to be in the same orientation. They all decide to be a wall. But what holds them together, what makes them strong, is that mortar. And if you think of the audiences that go around and participate in the different, or at least experience the different content that's out there, then, you know, adding your narrative, adding your personal experiences, that adds more bricks to the mix. That adds more rocks to the foundation, right, to the mix. So the more people that are aware of your personal experiences and then go somewhere else and then go somewhere else, I don't know. Let's just say you understand that 9mm is a fad and that 45 is so good. So you start talking about your 45 ACP experiences and how awesome they are. And if some fancy 9mm apologist starts looking in the comments, and most 9mm apologists will quickly go to a better caliber as soon as their audiences tell them they're sick of it already. So if the audience is all talking about how great 45 is, quickly that 9mm apologist is going to quit talking about 9mm, and boom, even though you didn't make them do it, you created the scenario, you created the circumstances that allowed them to evolve. So there's a lot, you can just apply that to lots of different things. And I think you've got what I'm trying to get across there. Unity in the community, power and diversity within the 2A community. Guess what? We've got that. Collaborative approaches to strengthen the 2A. Okay, so, barbecue saying something. This might be kind of what barbecue is talking about. But coming up with the approaches that help us strengthen that community is essentially, you know, offering support to the creators. Or I guess in this point, I'm talking creators, you're saying activists. They're not the same. They don't have to be the same person, but an activist who's got a creator like under their wing is a good, what's the word? It's a good symbiotic relationship. The creator who has the ability to put interesting things down, but instead of just trying to sell something, instead of just trying to become famous or something, they empower someone who has no interest in that stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's where you see some collaborative potential, I think. Empowering individuals to become active participants in the 2A. I think that's what I've been saying this whole time. And guess what? You don't have to wait for someone to tell you to do that. You can just do that. And when you're doing it, other people are going to come around and go, what the hell is this guy's problem? And then they're going to go, where's this guy get off? And then they're going to go, how did this guy do that? And then they're going to go, oh, I'm going to do that. And then they go, why aren't you doing it? So encouraging 2A rallies. Well, you don't have to love 2A rallies, but I put that in there because I like them. You could have gun shows in there. You could have something else, right? You could have something else that I'm missing here that you think is so good. Encouraging grassroots movements and community engagement. So, you know, part of this concept of unity in the community. It's rude of him to start his show when I'm trying to quirk him. All right, well, so we'll make this quicker than longer, I guess. Empowering individuals. I think we just did that. Encouraging rallies, grassroots movements, and engagement. Creating inclusive spaces for dialogue and collaboration. Now that's a tough one because now that's taking your time to create something for other people. Sounds good. Like, oh yeah, I can do that. No problem. But then when other people get in there and start farting and being weird and like leaving poop on the walls, it's like, wait a minute, why am I doing this? So this is a lot easier said than done. And that's why I very much appreciate the people that do that host live conversations, that put the time in. Barbecue's out there. Gizzard is out there. She Fires is out there. AR Patriot is out there. Those are the people that are posting stuff that I know that do or have done this effort, which you don't get anything for it. Nobody pays you a freaking dime for it. A lot of times people start giving you shit about it or just plain start hating you about it. So this part is difficult, but this, I mean, at least is my opinion. You could fight me on this one or come at me, but this is where it all starts. The tavern, right? The conversation that sparks the disruption or whatever that starts it all. That's what happens. That doesn't just happen. People don't just all, we're not Borg. We don't just have the Queen disseminate to us or some sort of goal comes around and we all absorb it. This happens through conversation and whatnot. So again, what's your why? What are you doing? Do you have to do what somebody else is doing? Did you have to do what somebody already did? Or can you start doing something and see if it works? Yeah, you're allowed to do that. Half the cool shit that's out there is somebody that just started doing something to see if it would work. Let me go over to Cape Gunworks before they get too far into it. Give them a thumb up. Recommend that you do the same. Toby's from a gun shop in Massachusetts. Massachusetts has already got gun laws and they're under attack. So now we can get back to this show, even though he's quirking me over there. let's see. Creating inclusive spaces for dialogue and collaboration. And this can be in all kinds of forms. Again, you don't have to wait for somebody else to do it or see whatever somebody else has done. Go do it on one of these new platforms that they're so good, right? We need voices. What's your why? What are you interested in doing? Do something that's fun, too. Something in here sounds like we need it, but it seems like a lot of work. Then let somebody else do it who will love that work, because we should be doing what we like, right? Building bridges across generations. So are you doing that or are you creating rift? It's super fun and it's easy to make rifts. So guess what? Building bridges is stronger, strategically more lucrative. Foster a sense of unity and solidarity amongst diverse stakeholders within the 2A community. Look how I got stakeholders in there. That's a fancy new word. Or at least they're using it all nowadays. So again, super easy to feed on that rift and division. But typically, I was just watching some cool stuff about game theory. So stay tuned for more game theory coming up in the mix. But literally, mathematically, it's better off. We are better off working together than we are as individuals. So there's always going to be outliers for sure. And working together doesn't mean we have to each change each other's stuff. It just means that those bricks in the wall, they just allow themselves to be in the same wall and not scattered amongst the dirt or whatever for no reason. Strategically having a few giant boulders in the dirt and in addition to the wall might be a good idea. So I'm not saying everybody's got to be a wall or nothing, but you know what I'm trying to say here. Mastering the evolving landscape and preparing. Let me go over to what Barbecue is saying over here. He's been saying stuff. Not trying to say it yet. My worry is if an org was made for advocates and activists, that those who joined it to be promoted and pushed would be labeled as sellouts and it would hurt them. I guess it would depend on who set it up, right? If Coca-Cola set it up or if Ken Blanchard set it up, right? Who's setting it up? Because then they'd surely have to push that organization as well, which then maybe that organization promotes someone they don't agree with and therefore their audience may not either. Sure. And that's where I think I see what you're saying. If y'all had to come under one roof, then you don't want to be on the same roof as somebody else. And that's where we haven't had to deal with that yet. And I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head have a good answer for that one. But that's definitely an issue, potentially an issue. Unfortunately, audiences are fair weather and may many times the first time they perceive a misstep, they'll be gone. See, we both were on there and you had a big following. How dare you promote them? Right. So that's the case, not just fair weather. The audiences are, like audiences are like the flow of a river. Like the river's always there, but it's not the same water. So people who give a shit are always there, and there's always some number of them, but they're not always the same people. So sometimes there's persistent people. Sometimes people do spend their whole lives giving a shit, but some people can't, and some people would as soon as they can get back on their feet. Some people would as soon as they get this move over with. Some people would as soon as they're done getting married. Some, you know what I mean? Like people do things, and then when they come back to it, they're there again. But then something happens and they're going to be back again. So providing the, you know, the docks and the boats and the stuff so they can do something where they're there is probably useful. But expecting, I don't know, am I getting it? I hear what you're saying, but audiences are measured in multiple ways, but they're not permanent. You can get some permanent pieces. All right, I'm going back to mastering. Hopefully that addressed what you were talking about out there. Thanks for the comments. It's good points. And in this case, when we're talking about what's your why, you know, I've definitely, that's what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm trying to encourage others to participate, to inspire, to motivate, and to challenge others to get the hell on board, because for lots of reasons, right? Nobody just steps on board. You know, we don't have super magical rich people that just get ding, like, here you go. Now you're in the mat, you know, ding, like now you're part of it. And, you know, here's another one, ding, like some kind of players in a video game or something, where we just pick the characteristics and pop them into the environment. You know, it's just regular people that are doing something and they're successful, or people that have the time and it catches on or whatever. But, let's get on with it. Mastering the evolutionary, the evolving landscape and preparing for challenges, pushing boundaries. I'll push puppies. It's kind of like pushing a boundary. Navigating regulatory hurdles, understanding community guidelines, strategies for compliance while advocating for Second Amendment rights, techniques for adapting to logarithm changes and content moderation policies. Because I'm already Quark and Toby quite a bit over here, I'll leave some of this, and we're more than an hour in for people listening as a podcast. But if I'm missing something here, or if something in here sounded really interesting and we should hit it more, then I'll be happy to hit on any of these topics, honestly, because these are all infinitely large topics. I'm attempting to go through, you know, bird's eye view today and talk again about what's your why. You know, why are you doing this? What can you do? Like, what can you possibly do that's necessary? Hopefully I'm offering some, you know, pulling the curtain back on a couple of things. You know, here's some, we're shining some light on some things that you may not have seen light on before. But so getting into pushing boundaries, again, I talked about some groups, you know, some parts of the, of our community that are not necessarily represented. But there's other ways to push boundaries. Barbecue was talking about creating resources for advocates or helping advocates, pushing boundaries in other directions. We don't have hardly anything on the offensive. All we ever talk about is defensive stuff or gathering the troops to be prepared for the next attack. But I'd like to think pushing boundaries could include removing the NFA. Right? Let's see some offensive moves to change the Overton window blatantly in positive ways. And that's just, you know, one way of thinking, pushing boundaries. Pushing boundaries, like, you know, think of those groups that I talked about. What if you motivated old people? Old people got nothing else to do. As far as I know, old people sit around being bored all the time. And they got a lot of money, because everybody says everybody old has to have a lot of money. And they got nothing else to do. So all I got to do is get them motivated. Think about those boundaries that they could push. Then we got navigating regulatory hurdles. All right, I could go on and on, like I say, about any of these, so I guess I won't. We'll end it with the last segment here, risks and strategies for protecting freedoms. The threat of unexpected changes. So whenever I type these things in, I get the robots to help me write these things. I usually ask three or four robot brains to give me the answers that I'm looking for. And then I take the pieces of the answers I want and stuck them together here. So I almost always include like in 2024, because I don't want it to just be theoretically, what do we need or what should we have, blah, blah, blah. But you know what's happening right now. And I mean, name something that's been consistent. There are certainly lots of things that have been consistent, but one of the only things that's consistent is change, right? So it either happens fast in some realms, it happens slowly in other realms, but like, I mean, I keep using YouTube, you know, there was a longer era, but there was a MySpace era, and it happened when the internet was slower, but the internet was on your phone. And it's difficult for people who haven't lived through it and people who don't think about this stuff, but we lived in the late 90s and early 2000s. Everyone understood what the internet was. AOL and Netscape and those early online things let people kind of taste what the internet could do. And then the internet was at like a clunky computer on a telephone line. And then it went to text messaging on telephones to smartphones. And I won't get into every little step there, but you know, going from cell phones, which were those flip phones that we could text each other on, and that was all of a sudden we were texting each other on cell phones. That's where texting comes from. It's from cell phones. And then we put that on the computer later, but computers, nobody was going to sit down at a computer to text each other. The only people texting each other on a computer were those of us who worked on computers all day long. We text each other all the time, and then we would text each other on our phones. Regular people text themselves on each phone. Cell phones come, or smartphones come along. The internet comes onto there. That's when MySpace happened. The internet was slow. Internet on phones was slow. And then what happened? Everything got fast. Everything got bigger. And it wasn't until about 2009 that YouTube happened. So for that whole 2000s, like from 2000 to 2010, that's when MySpace happened. And MySpace was big because it was slow, not just because it was slow to load, but because you didn't need an immediate back and forth conversation. People weren't online all the time. You went online occasionally, and sometimes you were there, but other times you were at school, you're at work, you're sleeping, and you weren't online. So the conversations were sketchy and they went back and forth. It would take you a week to have a conversation. They were slow in that regard, so that people weren't always online. That changed with smartphones. That changed with the apps that allowed us to be online. So what makes you think they're going to stop here? That's what I'm getting at. I always talk about these backwards looks so that I can go, what makes you think we're done? Like, why do you think this is over? We know that there's what almost happened was virtual. That was almost happened. That's the idea of, remember the Facebook going into virtual? You can buy virtual land. You can buy virtual property. And people asked why. That almost happened, but what happened is augmented came along right next to it. Augmented is putting on goggles and looking at something like I would be looking at this dog right here, but let me put the dog back on the screen for the people that are watching this. I would be looking at this dog right here, but I might have a heads up display over here that told me the dog was hungry, and a heads up display over here that told me this is the end that the food goes in. Heads up display over here that said this is the stinky end, so that it would let me know on top of, augmented on top of my, like a heads-up display, I would see more information about the world. Think that's never going to keep going? And then we have, but what happened is AI came along, and you don't even think about augmented reality anymore. You don't think about virtual reality anymore. But virtual reality is happening, and it will happen. Augmented reality is happening. We will see that. We're moving to the next level. So threat of unexpected changes should be, going back to the what we started ranting about here, this threat of unexpected changes, there's just change. That's the only constant is change. Surf that change. Like, be ready for that change. Be anticipating that change and value where we're at today. We live in an awesome time today. Don't let anybody tell you it's doom and gloom. Let's see. Unless they're making money off the doom and gloom, it's just ridiculous. Like, but even the people, there's some real money in doom and gloom right now. Adapting to cultural and technological changes. I think I kind of just mentioned a lot of that right now. So hopefully this is inspirational and motivational. And if you need instructional, come back, you know, check out the shows the last couple of weeks. If you have a specific question about something you're doing, website stuff is awesome. Phone stuff is awesome. Collaborating stuff, what Barbecue was talking about, how to support, motivate, and give resources to activists. That would be an awesome topic. So I'm down for whatever. Try to do it consistently on Tuesday afternoon morning so that people can show up and keep it in my schedule. I'm able to keep it in my schedule because of our Patreons. They make it possible for us to spend time on projects like these. I have three big servers that cost money every month. There's some software and then the time. So I have stuff on the table right over there that I could be doing that actually would make me money right now. But I'm taking time away from that thanks to our patrons, the people that are capitalists that subscribe to what we do. Most of them, it's $5 a month. So essentially buying me a cup of coffee. Maybe some of them, very few anymore, are the $25 a month, but it's much appreciated. That's essentially buying me lunch once a month is what a lot of people think of it as. But in reality, it just accumulates and allows me to pay for three servers, a bunch of different software. It allows us to get the information that we put out there. And we don't just put it out there. You know, we're putting it out there to archive so that hopefully it becomes those bricks, those accumulations, so that as people try to find stuff, it's found and it's not so, you know, covered with ads or useless garbage that it's distracting. What you're looking at on the screen is our posts. The reason there's no ads on there, there's the reason there's nothing distracting on there is those Patreons. So thanks to those folks that make it possible for us to do what we do. Now, if you're not into subscribing, if you think that's not interesting or you're not a fan of it, we do have a store. So we'll end it with a commercial for our store. And again, thanks to everybody for joining us live. All those people in the podcast that are listening out there. We talked about Podbean earlier. And now we'll recommend that you head over to listen to Toby over at Cape Gun Works. He does a segment of the Grace Curley show every Tuesday called 2A Tuesday. People call into her show and he calls in and answers questions answers the questions. But he also has a conversation going with the people in his YouTube show. So it's definitely worth your time. Tomorrow he'll have another show and we go live before that one to be the pre-show as well. And we'll talk about Instagram. And again, thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Where did my button go? This is the puppy's job to push this button.
GearWebsites.com is your source for firearms-based playing cards and books. We also have mugs, shirts, and posters with designs that we've made live. Of course, we have patches. Every Friday is Free Patch Friday. We appreciate your support. Thank you for shopping at GearWebsites.com.
Now Puppy's going to do a juicer video.
Get to work.